Romans 7. Romans 7. Oh, what I would, I do not. And that which I would not, I do. You need to listen to my study on Romans 7. And really, 5, 6, 7, and 8. I might as well throw in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. You know, but listen to my study on Romans 7, if nothing else. All he was doing was telling you what it's like under the law. Under the law, you do what you would not. I want to, with the mind, I myself obey the law of God. With my mind, I want to obey the law of God, at least. My mind says, I don't want to do it. I don't want to covet my neighbor's goods. But then, my neighbor's goods are left unattended, and I say, oh, he's not looking. I'm going to take my neighbor's goods. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, but I need it so badly. I'm just going to take it. And so, when someone comes to you saying, your conscience can be purged. Oh, great. I'd love that, you know. So I could sin without conscience. That'd be perfect. Oh, there's my neighbor's goods. That's a pathological liars, pathological thieves. There are some people whom, you know, lie detector tests don't work. Because they're so pathological. Meaning it's pathological, meaning it's almost like a disease. Or a skill, however you want to look at it. I don't care. They're so skillful at it. And lying, and even lying to themselves, that their conscience is completely subdued and it's not allowed to affect their body so that the machine could pick up the little subtleties to tell that you're lying. Their consciences have been subdued and seared and cauterized and made insensitive. But it exists. You know, no one has no conscience. There's no such thing. Just some people have dealt with their conscience in a particular way. But for those of us with a little more tender consciences, right, who know good and evil, who want to do right, but know they don't all the time, right? The first time someone told me that I could be free from these things, I'd been studying the scriptures for 10 years and I hadn't taught it, but I believed it. I thought, you know, I see that all over the Bible, talk about righteousness. I know it's there. And when someone just told me, this is how it can be, and this is how Christ wants it to be, and this is how it ought to be, and this is what you should have, and this is what you should be seeking, right? This is what righteousness is. If you do not do it, if you do not fulfill it, your sin remains. When someone offered that to me, I believed it immediately. I immediately received it. And I almost couldn't dare to hope it. But to me, it was something incredibly tantalizing. The other people to whom, when I tell this, they get angry. And I marvel that the same thing that caused me to have this great hope, like, you mean I could be free from the sins that torment me? Because for me, it was torment. Because I was like Romans 7. I wanted to do God's will, but I found myself unable. And I thought that was the state of us in Christianity. But it's not. That is the state of the old covenant. That is the state of man before he comes to faith. To true faith. I'm telling you. That is not what Christ's blood came to do. That you would be powerless against sin. That you would serve sin. You would commit sin and serve sin. Because whoever commits it, serves it. Whoever does unrighteousness is unrighteous. Look it, don't mistake the imputation of righteousness for a carte blanche, you know, God doesn't see it. He sees it. And anyone who deludes themselves thinking he doesn't is probably going to find out in the end that they were not God's chosen. And they didn't have any imputation at all, and God was counting it all against them. All their wonderful works in the name of Jesus, notwithstanding, an evil conscience knows it will sin. There's all kinds of things you could say about an evil conscience. They know they're going to sin. Or they feel, you know, it's one thing to say to have some doubt and be like, I don't know. I mean, but if you do, is that what you want? Do you long after righteousness? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness, as Jesus said? He was calling you to something. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You will be filled with righteousness, because his body and blood are food and drink indeed. And you eat him, and you drink him, and you will be filled with righteousness, I swear it. Not on my own word, but on the word of God. And if it's not so, I'm not a liar. He is. You will be filled if you will hunger and thirst after it. If that is your heart, I want righteousness. I do. Right? But you have something contrary in your nature. God sent his son to take care of that business. So trust him. Believe in him. Be patient. Wait for the produce of the field. Wait for the grain to come forth and the flower to bloom, etc., etc. Our bodies washed with pure water. I suppose that could be reference to baptism. But also could be a reference, you know, your mind purged from a conscience, right? And also your flesh. I think it was 2 Corinthians 7. Gosh, I hope I get this right. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we see cleanse from the mind in the spirit, the filthiness within the spirit of man, man's desires, man's inward filthiness, and also the outward filthiness that comes. You know, first you clean the inside, then the outside. But, because once the inside is clean, the outside is easier to get clean. It's easy to do outward righteous things that people see, because it's always harder to sin in the sight of people. You know, I remember I used to have a lot of conscience about buying too much alcohol at one place. Because I didn't want some one person to see how much I drank. So I'd buy it at different places. Anyone who's drank with any conscience probably has experienced that, right? You go around to different places. You don't want to have the same old lady. Oh, you drinking again? You had a fifth yesterday. Isn't that enough for you, sonny? I mean, they don't say that, but you don't feel like you want to. You don't even want to make them think. You want him to feel. You want him to think like, "Oh, this guy's probably never drinks, and he's having guests, you know, or whatever. You know, he's there's probably a party going on, right? You want to avoid that. Well, it's easy to kind of put an outward show on without cleansing the inside. But Christ's blood was shed that our inside could be clean and our outside."